This morning in Western Christendom, we celebrate the feast of the evangelist St. Matthew. His symbol of the four great symbols mentioned in the book of Revelation is that of the angel. And we see that indicated in our bulletin for today. Our reading will be from Matthew's Gospel today. Please join me in the Office of Prime as you find it on page 108. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, forevermore. Amen. Almighty God, Heavenly Father, I have sinned against you through my own fault in thought, word, and deed, for the sake of the suffering, death, and resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on me, forgive me all my sin, and bring me to everlasting life. Prior to the reading of our text today, we would like to offer a prayer on behalf of Linda Tigan, the wife of Professor Erling Tigan, who has battled MS for many years and is now hospitalized with an infection. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, at your invitation, we come before you on behalf of your child, Linda. We ask that you would utilize the talents and wisdom of her physicians that she may improve in health and finally return home. Above all, sustain her and her family with the assurance of your gracious care through your word. Give them confidence that you will work all things for her good according to your will. We ask it all in Christ's saving name. Amen. Our reading for this morning is recorded for us in the Gospel of St. Matthew, the 13th chapter, and Jesus says, "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid. And for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it." These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. They took half of a teaspoonful of wheat, opened the palm of the man's hand and poured it, that little amount, into his hand and gave him these instructions. Walk up to this tiny little altar of a foreign god and just pour it at the feet of that little idol and we won't kill you. Refuse to do it and we're going to burn you to death. That's quite a challenge. And yet, hundreds, maybe thousands, of fellow Christians in the early centuries chose to dump that little half teaspoonful of wheat on the ground rather than place it at the feet of an idol. What would make them be willing to be burned to death or to be thrown to live animals for a little tiny handful of wheat? In the text before us, our Lord Jesus uses very simple imagery about possessing the kingdom of God through faith. He uses the imagery of a man who goes and finds out that this field has a treasure that's buried in it. And then he goes back and he sells everything he has so that he can possess that treasure. And Jesus is using this to describe those who've been brought to faith in him, believers in him, who've come to understand and realize how wonderful and how priceless this precious gospel is that gives us the hope of going to heaven someday. Now, the unbelieving world looks at the gospel and doesn't see very much. It seems kind of silly and pointless and senseless. It looks at it like a plot of land that's just got like a junkyard on it. It seems absolutely irrelevant and has no value. And so the world laughs at our purchase. The world laughs at those who are faithful in Christ, who look at this with eyes of faith and realize its tremendous value, but it doesn't get it. It doesn't understand it. And when Christians possess this, they want to hold on to it so tightly, and the world just thinks this is absolutely ridiculous. I remember when I was 16 years old, in the summers I would play on a softball team, and there were a number of guys on that team who weren't Christians or maybe were nominal Christians but really didn't get what the gospel was all about. And they couldn't figure out why in the world my parents would send me and spend thousands of dollars on a school where I would go when there was a free one right in town. And I remember trying so hard to get them to understand that, but it seemed to fall on deaf ears. The problem is that those of us who have been given the knowledge of what's in this field and realize the great treasure is that's there, now that it's been hidden from us again and that we don't actually see it, we can start to drift back to the way that the world evaluates this real estate. We can start to look at our religion and the things about our religion and about our faith kind of with those same set of eyes of the world. And we start asking ourselves, you know, is this really all worth it? All the time and the money and the energy and the focus and the attention that I put into this faith, is it really going to be worth it? What if the treasure's really not there? What if I'm going to be let down someday? We still don't have our hands on it. We still don't actually hold it. But this is the way God often works in his kingdom. God often buries things. He hides them from our natural senses and from our reason and from what we see and from the eyes of natural man. This is the common way that God operates in his kingdom. He takes his holy son, God himself, and puts him in the womb of a little virgin in this dumpy little town of Nazareth and has him be born in a barn around a bunch of stinky cows. Born to a carpenter's family. And yet here is the Son of God. He takes his holy word and puts it into an old book that gets ridiculed and abused in this world. The activity of repentance in the heart is something we can't see. No doctor can find it going on inside of you with a scalpel. And yet it is the turning point for salvation when the Holy Spirit works faith in us. the water of baptism, the Lord's Supper. Think how lowly and meaningless these things seem to the world. They just look like a plot of land that has nothing in them. But the believer has been blessed to see past the dirt. The believer, by the work of the Holy Spirit, has come to realize the tremendous value that God has buried here. The forgiveness of every sin we've ever committed before God. The holy, perfect report card before God that we have to get into heaven someday. The everlasting joy of heaven that's all buried for us in this treasure. So how do we learn about it? How do we learn the value of this? Well, the Holy Spirit is the one who comes to us through God's Word and gives us those eyes to see and to realize what great value is there. And so for the believer in Christ now, possessing this treasure trumps everything else in life. You got to have it. You just have to possess it. Nothing else is worth it. Not even your life is worth losing it for. In the text before us, this man, we can imagine, finally goes to possess this land and to actually dig up that treasure. The day will finally arrive for you and me as well, believers in Christ, when we can finally hold in our hands and see with our actual eyes what right now only faith understands is there. But for now, the just shall live by faith. But as you live by faith in this world, hold on to the deed, to the title of this land, and grab your shovel and get ready to dig. Amen. Please rise. Please join me in the responsory and the collect as you find them on page 108. O Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy upon us. O Lord Jesus, seated at the right hand of the Father, have mercy upon us. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost. O Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy upon us. Arise, O Christ, and help us, and deliver us for your name's sake. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. O Lord Jesus Christ, bright Son of the world, shine upon my spirit and drive away the night of sin, that I may walk in your holy light all my life and even forevermore. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill the hearts of your faithful people and kindle in them the fire of your love. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill the hearts of your faithful people and kindle in them the fire of your love. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Lord Almighty order this day and all our doings in his peace. Amen. We join in singing hymn 406, verses 1 and 3.